want to welcome everyone to our Bible study. This is an extension of our Torah teachings that we're going to continue in the Torah part of it. Again, the half Torah is still for y'all to do on your own personal study at home. We're just doing a little shift just to try to get more of the Torah teaching in, because it's so wonderful, so power-packed with a lot of good stuff. And this is our Torah teaching and understanding Yah's likes and his dislikes. And we're on Torah portion number 3 in his Lake Lakah, in his Hebrew for go or leave, and literally go for yourself. And it's Genesis 12:1 through Genesis chapter 17 verse 27, and half Torah is Isaiah 40 verse 27 through Isaiah 41 verse 16. And I wish I can go back and there's so much with all the discussions, you know, that breaks it down for the chapters, that you can just go back and get all these slides that we done did off of the online on our website. So you can pull all these things, all these slides up, and you go back and get it from the beginning. Because those that haven't got it from the beginning, you want to get it from the beginning so you can understand where we're at tonight. Because we're only 95 slides in, and this is our third teaching on it. So we'll go as far as we can tonight. But we're talking about Abraham and how he was commanded, he was called out to go, to leave everything that he had known. Think about it. 75 years old. And he's called to leave family, friends, everything, and follow Yehovah. Think about that. How he's got to take that leap, that step of faith, and forget about whatever he was taught, whatever he learned, and trust that the path that the Yehovah, the Father, that God's taken him to, and that he'll lead him in the right path. So it says, we're on verse 4, and it says, Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. This is a powerful example. This is where we left off on this slide right here. This is a powerful example for us to show that no one is too old to change. Abraham did not use any excuses or try to give any reason why he could not go at the command of Elohim, even though he did not even know where he was going to. And I thought about that. You know, how scary that must have been. You know, fear can really grab a hold of you when you're in the not knowing stage. You know, it's easy to do something or go somewhere when you know where you're headed at. But when you don't know, you know, just think about it. When you're driving, you're going somewhere. Even when you know where you're going, but it's dark. And for some reason, you take the wrong exit. You got off where you shouldn't have got off. You know, because you wanted to get gas or get something to eat. You ever been there? And it's dark. And look, fear, when you're passing through certain places, it's not recognizable to you. It's a little sketchy. Fear gets a hold of you. You know, it can be scary. Not knowing. And I thought about Abraham, not knowing where he was going. But how he trusted Yehovah with that command that says, I know, I don't know where I'm going, but I know one thing. With you on side of me, We cannot fail. I'm going to let you lead me and guide me, because that's what he wants for our life. He wants to do the leading and guiding. We want to do the leading and guiding sometimes, especially as a husband. And, you know, as you head of your household, you know, you want your family to follow you. You want to do the leading and guiding. But how about as the head of the household, we let the head himself, the chief, the master, lead and guide us, and let us lead and guide our family. Listen, we do that, We have no chaos. We have no distractions when we let him do our leading and guiding. We follow his path that he wants for our life. And we can't go wrong. We can't go wrong. So even though he did not know where he was going, he had no excuse. He trusted the Father that he was going to follow his path no matter what. Hebrews 11:8. By belief, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he was about to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. He obeyed, and by belief, he obeyed. The Greek word that is used here for obey is hupakeo, Strong's G5219, which means to listen, attend to submit to heed, and obey, and is made up of two words. Number one is hupo, Strong's G5259, which means under. Further means to be controlled by or in subjection to. Akuo, Strong's G191, which means hearing, to hear, listen, give heed, understand, attend to, and consider what is being said. And these Strong's in the Hebrew and the Greek, is all it does is just give us a more deeper understanding of just what we think the word obey is. There's so much more to it. So that's why we break it down in the strong that in the way that we do it. Clearly, we can see here that Abram was under or in subjection to, making himself available to hear and listen carefully and consider the instructions of Elohim. And then do what he had heard, showing that he in fact was in subjection to the commands of Elohim. He was not just a hearer, but also a doer of the word. And something that really stuck out to him is that, you know, we can hear all day long. We can hear when he's telling us to do something. We can hear when he's telling us not to do something. But what do? We have to make ourselves available to the hearing of to the doing of the word. And that's what Abraham did. You know, he was hearing and he knew the voice of Yehovah, but he made himself available to it. And sometimes we fall short in that area. You know, we want to not make ourselves available because we have so much going on. You know, we have so much to do. You know, we got work. We got family. We got, you know, yard work, house duty, honeydew lists. Husband has honeydews. I don't know if I got them. I guess sometimes I do have them. But anyway, you know, this, you have to make yourself available to his word, to his calling, his commands. Sometimes you got to put stuff on the back burner for him, instead of always putting him on the back burner for our stuff. We good at doing that. We good at putting him on the back burner like he's supposed to understand all the time. He's so mindful. He's so graceful. He understands. But no, make ourselves available. Put our stuff on hold. That's the doer of the word. And that's what Abraham did. He made himself available. He put his stuff on the back burner. He left everything and went and followed Yehovah. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them shall be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. How powerful is that? When you hear his word and you do them, it's like you build your house upon the rock. He calls you a wise man. And we also know that he calls you a foolish man when you don't. The Greek word that is translated as does is poieo, Strong's G4160, which means to make, do, accomplish, keep, work, and act. A derivative of this word is Poiephus, Strong's G4163, which means a doer, a maker, and is seen in Yaakov, James 1:21-25. Therefore, put away all these filthiness and overflow of evil, and receive the meekness, the implanted word, which is able to save your lives, and become doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his face, his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and immediately forgets what he was like. But he that looked into the perfect Torah, that of freedom, and continues in it, not becoming a hearer that forgets, but a doer of work, this one shall be blessed in his doing of the Torah. Doing his word, doing his Torah, he calls it blessed. He says, you're blessed. And what it says, the implanted word is able to save our lives. Think about that. The Torah is able to save your life. The word translated as doing of the Torah is also a derivative of poieo, and is the word poiesis, Strong's G4162, which means deed, making, doing, performing, in his doing, in the obedience he renders the law. These verses are very clear in telling us that the true hearer of the word guards it and performs it. A true hearer of the word don't only guards it, he performs it. He puts it into action. He puts it into works. As his obedience renders the law under which he submits. There are many people who claim to be doing what the word says, yet they are simply living lawless lives, as their actions reveal their clear disregard for the Torah, as are merely doing lawlessness, which is to be operating or performing acts without clear instruction, with no regard for the laws of Elohim. Think about that. 1 John 3:4. Everyone doing sin also does lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. The Greek word that is translated here as sin is hamartia. Strong's G266, which means sin, failure, miss the mark, to miss or wander from the path of uprightness and honor, to do or go wrong, and also carries the meaning of wandering from the law of Elohim, violate the law of Elohim. We also should know by now, yet I will remind you once again that the Greek word that is used for lawlessness is the word anomia, Strong's G458, which means lawlessness or lawless deeds and unrighteousness. It comes from the root word anomos, Strong's G459, meaning lawless or without law, transgressors. This Greek word, anomos, Strong's G459, is a construct of two words. The alpha, Strong's G1, used as a negative prefix, and nomos, Strong's G3551, which means that which is assigned, law, laws, and principle. Therefore, lawlessness simply and very clearly means to be without law. This verse from 1 John 3:4 spells it out very plainly for those who seem to miss the fact that to not walk in the Torah is sin. To not walk in the Torah is sin. That's plain and simple what 1 John 3:4 is telling you. If you're not walking in the Torah, you sin. And then, you know, you think about it, it's kind of harsh. You know, it's kind of strong to say that to a believer. How you confront a believer with that, to tell him, hey, if you're not walking in the Torah, saying you sin it. But it's the truth. It's not stuff that we're making up. We're not making this stuff up. It is as though Yohanan was spelling out, was John was spelling out, this fact was very bluntly and straightforward. For those who struggle with a Greek mindset and see no need to walk in the Torah, well, right here in the Greek, it is clear. If you are lawless, that is to walk contrary to the Torah and have no law, then you are indeed sinning. In the Greek mindset, if you don't want to put on your Hebraic thinking and get your Hebraic cap on, if you want to just stick to the Greek, well, here you go. Even in the Greek, it's still sin if you're not keeping his Torah. And that's the Strong's G266 and Strong's G458. Titus 2:11-14. For the saving gift of Elohim has appeared to all men. Hallelujah for that. Instructing us to renounce wickedness and worldly lusts and to live sensibly, righteously, reverently in the present age, looking for the blessed expectation and esteemed appearance of the great Elohim and our Savior, Yeshua Messiah, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for himself a people of his own possession, ardent for good works. The Greek word that is used here for redeem is lothro. Strong's G3084. It's one of those words. I said three of them. Pick which one that fits your vocabulary. Because they all fit 900. Which literally means to release by paying a ransom, to redeem. In other words, Messiah has paid the price for us and released us from lawlessness by paying the ransom for our lives with his own blood. Hallelujah for that. Messiah has paid the price to redeem us from lawlessness. No excuses. We have no excuses of why we cannot walk in this Torah. None. Because the price was done paid. It has been laid out. The sacrifice has been put on the altar for us to live set apart lives. Shaul tells us in Romans 6:18, and having been set free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. Having been set free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. So in other words, we can see that the Master, Yeshua Messiah, has redeemed us and set us free from all lawlessness and sin in order that we never wander from or violate the Torah and are faithful in doing his Torah. Genesis 12:5. And Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Abram left Haran. The Hebrew word Haran, Strong's H2771, means mountaineer or crossroad. And what we can learn from this is that Abram stood at a crossroad in his life. Think about it. He was at a crossroad in his life. He came to a spot where he had to make a choice. Either I'm going to follow Yehovah and the path that he's putting out in front of me, or I'm going to follow my own ways, or I'm going to follow the ways of the world. Anybody ever had been to those crossroads? Listen, I've been to we was at these crossroads, say, about 5-6 years ago. We was at a crossroad. You know, we had a choice. We either could follow his Torah, or we could continue doing what we were doing. That was a crossroad. We had a choice to make. We was either go straight, or we can go right or left. Or even go backwards if you want. And I can remember a crossroad in my life where I didn't I didn't choose the straight path. I went right, left, or behind, whichever way I went. I don't even know which way I went. That's the crazy part about it. But I knew it wasn't the right way at some point in time in my life when I came to my senses. I knew I went wrong. But I was at that crossroad and I had a choice to make. And instead of going straight, I went my own way. I didn't go his way. And let me tell you, nothing good came out of those years of my life. Wasted. Wasted years of my life. Just like that, you know, I sing that song. It was wasted years. I can never get that back. Wasted. Because I was at a crossroad. I didn't choose his path. His way that he wanted me to go. Not knowing. Abraham, not knowing. But yet he still went. Not knowing, and I didn't go his way. But I'm so thankful that he brought us back where we're at now. And when we was at that crossroad 5-6 years ago, he was bringing these revelations to our eyes, and we choose that. Not knowing the outcome, not knowing how people was going to react, not knowing how what family was going to say, not knowing the people that was going to stay or leave. But what do? You trust him. You trust him, not knowing, but knowing that one thing, that if he's with me on this journey, we cannot fail. We cannot fail with him on this journey. And that takes faith. That takes great faith. Listen, that is growing instead of partners. You know, it's just like anything you do. You got to grow in stuff. You got to grow in faith. You got to grow in obedience. When he calls us to be set apart, you grow instead of partners. It's no different. But I'm so thankful that the crossroad, that when we came to that crossroad, we all stuck it out and we decided to follow him. And he led us on, and he's leading us and guiding us in his truth, not our truth, not our thoughts. And what we can learn from this is that Abram stood at a crossroad in his life where he had to choose to listen and obey the word of Yehovah or be stuck in his ways. And refuse to move and rather hold on to tradition and family and refuses to budge. Think about that. Listen, at 75, let's not forget, he wasn't a teenager. He wasn't just beginning life. You're talking about 75 years old. And think about the elders in our church that was at that same crossroad. You know, it was good for us because, I mean, you know, we were young. We young when we started this. Not we were young, we are young. We're not old. We're just beginning to live. 40, that ain't old. You're just beginning to live. You're not old. But think about the ones that was in their 60s. That's all they knew was the traditions of men. But yet, like Abram, listen, I have so much respect for the elders in our church. So much respect for them. Because they did not stay in their ways. They refused to follow the traditions of men. And they started following the ways of Yehovah at that age, doing a complete turnaround. A complete turnaround. And saying, hey, we've been wrong this whole time, and we're going to follow him from here on out for the rest of our life. Think about that. Abram was 75. He wasn't no teenager. Wasn't just married. Been married a long time. But he had a decision to make. He had a crossroad that he had to cross over and decide what he was going to do. Amen? So good to us. He made the choice of listening to and obeying the word of Yehovah as commanded. And as a result, he would, at a good age, what Yehovah calls it? A good age. We call it old. That's an old man. Yehovah said, that's a good age. He don't see age. He sees that heart, that willing, that obedient heart. And he calls it a good age. Get up and leave behind all that he had known. Not something that, listen, that's what we got to grab hold of. We got to let go of all. Sometimes we want to take a little something with us. But he's telling us, no, you got to cut ties with everything. Not just some things. I need you to let go of all and follow me. Abraham, at a good age, gave up and left behind all that he had known for the sake of trusting in and obeying the Creator. The father of our faith was a doer of the word. Abram put things in action. He was not just a hearer. He did it. And so too should we be, no matter our age or circumstances. Oh boy. No matter my age or my circumstances. I can't pronounce words so good. Father? You think that's an excuse? No. Say it the best way you can. They'll figure it out. No matter what my circumstances are. Or your age. Abraham followed Yehovah, and he was a doer of his word. The fact that we are discovering the truth places us at a crossroad, at crossroads, where a clear choice must take place to follow the word of Elohim. As we walk in Messiah and realize that we are to hear, guard, and do all his commands and be in subjection to his clear Torah that lights our path. His Torah lights our path. Abram left and Lot went with him. It appears that Lot followed by choice. And can I say a smart choice? Smart. Even though he did go a separate way and got in a little trouble. But because of Abraham, faithful uncle, think about it. It appears that Lot followed by choice rather than being commanded to leave. He chose to follow Abraham, and the name of Lot, Strong's 83876, means covering, which tells us that he recognized the true covering and protection of Elohim. Listen, by choice we follow Yeshua Messiah, because we got to recognize where our true covering of Elohim comes from. He is our true covering of Elohim and our protection. By choice, we follow Yeshua Messiah. By following the one who will be blessed by Elohim. You follow Yeshua Messiah, we are blessed by Elohim. Following Yeshua Messiah. Verse 6, Genesis 12, 6. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. Abraham set out and came to the terebinth tree of Moreh, which is written in the Hebrew text as follows. Elam Moreh. The Hebrew word that is translated as terebinth is Elom. Strong's H436, which means terebinth, oak, and mighty, which is prolonged from a hill. Strong's H352, which means tabernacle, chief, pillar, doorpost, and ram. The other word that is translated as tabernacle 13 times in scripture is Elah, Strong's H424, which also means tabernacle and oak, and is the feminine of Ayil, and is also often translated as oak, which is a tree of the cashew family that yields turpentine. Turpentine. While some may debate whether these words mean terebinth or oak, what we recognize from Scripture is that these Hebrew words give us a very clear reference to a very strong and very durable tree, which has a sturdy structure as well as an extensive root system that enables the tree to remain green even during a drought. This strong tree is known to be able to grow up to 12 meters in height, and due to its root system, it can sprout up from a stump after having been cut down. Let us take a closer look at the terebinth tree as it is strategically used in Scripture, along with its mentioned locations. The first reference to a terebinth tree in Scripture is recorded here in Bereshit, Genesis 12:6. This is where Yehovah appeared to Abraham. This is where Yehovah appeared to Abraham. And I'm going to know what our next Torah portion is. And he appeared. Can't wait for Friday. Can't wait. And he appeared. Yehovah physically made himself visible to Abram at this terebinth tree, which was at Moreh. And the Hebrew word Moreh, Strong's H4176, means teacher. It comes from the root word Yara, Strong's H3384, which means to throw or shoot, direct, instruct, teach, and teacher, which is the root from which we get the Hebrew word Torah, Strong's H8451. Which means utterance, teaching, instruction, or revelation from Elohim. And it was here at this mighty tree that Abram met his teacher, Yehovah Elohim, who is the good teacher, and received clear instruction. Job 36:22. See, El is exalted by his power. Who is a teacher like him? Who is a teacher like him? Who is a teacher like Yehovah? Can anyone teach us like he can teach us? No. Can't even come close to his teaching, to his instruction. The terebinth tree was known for its good shade, and it is under this tree that he stopped. And in one sense, this is where he met with his mighty teacher, as he found shade under the pressing heat of his journey in a land filled with Canaanites. Psalms 121:5. Yehovah is your guard. Yehovah is your shade at your right hand. Think about that. He's our guard. He's our shade at our right hand. Think about it. You want to be at that spot when the pressure is on. When the heat's on, you want to be at that spot by that terebinth tree where Yehovah is. You want to be under his tree, under his shade. The term Moreh, Strong's H4176, as the name of a place, is used 3 times in Scripture. And the other times that we see this word being used is secondly when Moshe was giving reference to Yisrael of this very location where Abram had met Yehovah as a marker of where they would proclaim the blessing and curses on Mount Gerizim and Ebal when they had crossed the Jordan in Deuteronomy 11 verse 30. This can also remind us that we who have crossed over understand the clear blessings and curses of Scripture. We'll keep our eyes on our good teacher and master Yeshua Messiah. John 13:13. You call me teacher and master. You say well, for I am. The third time that we see this word, Moreh, Strong's H4176, being used in Judges 7:1, when Gideon was encamped at the fountain of Herod, while Midian was on the north of them by the hill of Moreh. Listen, if you haven't read the story of Gideon, and I think I'm pronouncing it right, because it don't say Gideon. We say Gideon, but it's Gideon, I think, when you listen to it. Go read this. Start in Judges. I think it might even start in Judges chapter 6. But go read it. It's so powerful. I was reading it this evening, and I was like, man, this is some good stuff. The Hebrew word harad comes from the root word harad, Strong's H2729, which means trembling, to be terrified, frightened, and afraid. This in itself carries a great encouragement for us, especially when we understand the full story of Gideon. Listen, you want to read this story, I promise you. go read it, because it is an encouragement for you. That's exactly what it will do. It will encourage you, this story. Who overcame huge, terrifying obstacles and frightening enemies as he fixed his eyes and trust on Yehovah. Because, listen, when you're faced with a battle, you fix your eyes on Yehovah. And that's what Gideon had to do. Listen, Yehovah told him to go do something. He had a large army. He says, no. He's having this conversation with Gideon. He says, that's too many. You got to cut them down. He says, the ones that's afraid, tell them go home. 22,000 was afraid. They only left them with 10,000. Think about it. 22,000 people was afraid. He says, tell them go home. Oh, so we're down to 10. Okay, I can work with 10. Get on. That's still too many. Because I don't want the children of Israel to think that they defeated these armies by their own hand. We got to get this number down some more. Take them to the river right here, to the water. And those that lap within their hands, separate them from those that kneel down. 10,000. Guess how many stay? Guess how many lap, like, you know, like a dog would hit it, and then what? 300. Keep them. 9,700 of them got stayed, told to stay back. So now we 300. Now we got some. Now I want them to see that it's my hand, that not their hand, that did it for them. And let me tell you, please go read the story. I'm telling you, it's exciting. It's exactly what it said it'll do to you, do for you. But before all that, he also had to tear down some stuff in his father's house. His altars that he for Baal, his Asherines that was on side of, had to tear that down before all that. He had to be obedient in that before Yehovah put him in that place to take 300 men and do what he needed to do. Listen, and guess how he did it? I'm telling y'all a story. Y'all ain't even going to go read it. I can't help it because I read it and I was excited about it. Listen, 300 men. Guess what they fought with? 300 chauffeurs. Blew the chauffeur. That's all they did. And broke some glass. 300 chauffeurs. And the men started running around like they're crazy and killing their own self with their own sword. That's powerful. Woo. Y'all still go read it. I told y'all the story, but y'all go read it for yourself. And you'll see how exciting it was. Here we recognize that in the face of danger and terrifying circumstances, which in Scripture is often represented as coming from the north, we are able to face the battles and struggles. As long as we have the hill of Moreh in our sights, meaning that we have our eyes fixed on our mighty teacher and his clear instructions that give us confidence and faith to stand and fight the good fight of faith. Keep our eyes fixed on our mighty teacher. No matter what circumstances we face in life, we fix our eyes on him and we, this battle that we always win. We will overcome these battles. Listen, but if you trying to overcome battles without your eyes fixed on him and in his Torah, you will be succumbed. You will lose. You lose every time. You lose every time. But with him, with our eyes fixed on him and his clear instructions, we got the confidence that we can overcome. We have a teacher of righteousness, and as good, faithful students, we must take careful heed to hear, guard, and do all he teaches us through his word. Then we will be equipped to face the tough battles in life. Joel 2:23. And you, children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in Yehovah your Elohim, for he shall give you the teacher of righteousness. Oh boy, did he give us the teacher of righteousness. and cause the rain to come down for you in the former rain and the latter rain as before. The Hebrew phrase that is translated here as the teacher of righteousness is Hamora lit. This comes from the root words more, Strong's H4175, which is a noun that means early rain, teacher, and archer. Strong's H6666, meaning righteousness, righteous acts, merits, and righteous deeds. Zedah. The Hebrew word moreh, Strong's H4175, is used twice in this verse and is also translated as former rain, highlighting for us the clear prophecy of Messiah, the teacher of righteousness that will come as the former rain as well as the latter rain, depicting a clear prophecy of his two comings, firstly as the teacher of righteousness and then as the latter rain. The Hebrew word that is translated as latter rain is Melkosh, Strong's H4456, which means latter rain, spring rain, and is understood as being the rains that come in late spring in order to strengthen and mature the crops. The rain that comes in the latter part, in the late spring, in order to strengthen and mature the crops. Think about that. This word, Malkosh, Strong's H4456, comes from the root verb, Lakosh, Strong's H3953, which means to take the second crop, to take everything, to glean the harvest, and a promise of provision and blessing that is given for obedience. If his commands were guarded, then Yehovah would send both the early rain and the latter rain. In Deuteronomy 11:13-14. And it shall be that if you diligently obey my commands, which I command you today, diligently obey my commands, to love Yehovah your Elohim and to serve him with all your heart and with all your being, then I shall give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, and you shall gather in your grain and your new wine and your soil. The Hebrew word that is translated as early rain in Deuteronomy 11:14 is the word yoreh, Strong's H3138, which is the active participle of the word yara, Strong's H3384, which means to throw or shoot, direct, instruct, teach, and teacher, which is the root from which we get the Hebrew word Torah, Strong's H8451, means utterance, teaching, instruction, or revelation from Elohim. The Hebrew word Yoreh, Strong's H3138, is translated as watering in Hosea 6:3. The early and latter rains are a frequent theme that we see repeated throughout Scripture and teaches us that without the early and latter rain, there can be no harvest. Without the early and latter rain, there can be no harvest. Look, go read Hosea 6:3 also. I'm going to read that one too. What we recognize from the early and latter rain is that with the first coming of Messiah, we can recognize that he has to teach and instruct us, and with his second coming as the latter rain, he is coming to take up a harvest of souls. He is coming to reap, and he is coming on the cloud. He's coming as the first rain, and he's coming as the latter rain to finish what he started. He's coming as the latter rain to finish what he started. Okay, so I've highlighted the clear picture of rain in the early and latter rains, which are both essential for a strong and mature harvest. It is with this in mind that I want us to consider the need for us to understand how important Yehovah's rain is for us And when I say that, I mean his teaching and instructions. For without it, we are not able to be made strong and become mature in Messiah. Without it, we are not made strong. Who is both our teacher of righteousness and the gatherer of the after crop. Those who whore do not have a teacher that will come and nourish them. As the good teacher will clearly rebuke the rebellious who have whored and reject them, by declaring that he does not know them, despite their vain attempts at declaring that they did much in his name. What they did was mere acts of lawlessness, as they disregarded his Torah. Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23. Words of our Master. This is his word. Not everyone who says to me, Master, Master, shall enter into the reign of the heavens, but he who is doing the desire of my Father is in the heavens. The desire of the Father. Understanding Yah's likes and his dislikes. Many shall say to me in that day, Master, Master, have we not prophesied in your name? Think about it. Notice who he's talking about right here. He's not talking to people that's not in the fold or not a believer or calling himself a believer, not a church-going person. Did we prophesy in your name? And cast out demons in your name? These people are doing some mighty things in the name of Yehovah. And done mighty works in your name? And then I shall declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness. You who work Torahlessness. That's what he's saying. That was the first place. The second place that we see a reference being made to a terebinth tree is at Mamre, Strong's H4471, which means strength or fatness. This word is used 10 times and was the location where Abram moved to and dwelt by the terebinth tree of Mamre, which was in Hebron. And it was here that he also built a slaughter place to Yehovah. Mamre was an Ammonite who had made a covenant with Abram. It is here that he was in Genesis, that we see in Genesis 18:1. That Yehovah once again made himself physically visible and appeared to Abraham. Abraham was sitting at the tent door of his tent by the terebinth tree of Mamre, and the root word used for sitting is Yashab, Strong's H3427, meaning sit, dwell, remain, abide, inhabit, and sitting still. In a modern word derived from this word, which is translated as school, is yeshiva. Sitting and dwelling in the Hebraic mindset is an idiom for learning. And it is at the Master's feet that we come and sit and drink of his pure and clear living water and get great clarity and insight and strength to surge on with joy. The idea of sitting in the Hebrew mindset is to learn and not to simply sit and vegetate. Sit and learn. But rather sit and pay attention to the instructions of their teacher. The Hebrew word Yashab, Strong's H3427, which means to sit, dwell, remain, abide, inhabit, sitting still, is pictured in the ancient pictographic text as follows. The Yod. This is the letter Yod, Yad or Yod, which in the ancient script is pictured as an arm and hand and carries the meaning of work, make, or throw. From the primary functions of the arm and hand, it also represents worship or giving thanks. in the extending of hands as a gesture of this. The shin, which is the letter which in ancient script is the picture of two front teeth and carries the meaning of sharp or press, which is what the teeth do, and also speaks of the sharpened word that comes forth from the mouth as the teeth chew or meditate on the truth, making what comes forth pure and sharp. The bet. This is the bet, which in the ancient script pictures a tent floor plan. It means house or tent. It represents family and the importance of those who are inside the tent as opposed to the tent structure itself. Looking at this word in the ancient script helps us further understand how we are to dwell as sojourners. For it is by the outstretched arm and hand of Yehovah that we are able to sit and listen and meditate on and guard to do his word. Giving thanks to him as we are built up in Messiah as the dwelling place of Elohim. These pictographs that render the root word Yeshav, Strong's H3427, can give us the following meaning. Work the word of the house. Work the word of the house. Listen, in order to work the word, we have to put it in action. We have to be a doer. In order to do, it takes action to do. You know, we can say all these things, but not doing them is not working the word. It has no meaning behind it if we're not doing it. We have to do it. We have to be a doer. We have to work it. And that, in order to work it, it takes action. It takes us doing our part. So we have to work the word of the house. In our ability to properly dwell as we should, then we are to work the word of the house, which instructions we have clearly been given as we have been diligently sitting and hearing. Listen, we have been doing a lot of sitting and hearing. I mean, like, you know, with the teaching that's been going on. I don't mean it in a negative sense. Like, all y'all doing is just sitting and hearing. Somebody's got to sit and hear. But I mean that we have, that's where we're at. We have been in this spot where he's got our attention. And he's giving us the word. We're hearing and listening. As we have been diligently sitting and hearing in order to become doers of the word, we know that the Torah of the house is set apartness, and that we are to pursue apartness. And in order to do that, to dwell emphasizes one who is diligently being a hearer and doer of the word. And not just a hearer only, a hearer and doer. You pursue set apartness. He called us to be set apart, but we have to pursue it. And that's how we grow in set apartness, by pursuing it. To be proper dwellers is to be proper doers of the word of the house. Abraham is clearly pictured for us a great example of a man who meditated on the word day and night. Think about that. If you're meditating on the word day and night, when you hear that voice telling you to move, you move with no debate, with no trying to compromise. You know, should I go? Should I not go? Listen, when you meditate on his word day and night, there's no thought. Did he really say that? Is that the voice? Am I hearing the correct voice? Am I hearing Yehovah's voice? If you meditate on his word, you know his voice. You know when his set-apart spirit is wooing you to do something. You know it. It's not, you know, should I or should not. You do it when you meditate on that word day and night. I can promise you. Was so focused on the Master Yehovah making himself ready available. Ready available, meaning what? No matter what time of day, what hour it's in, 2 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm ready available. That's how you meditate day and night. You're ready available no matter what, no matter when and what season it is. You're always available. Not only available when things are going good in my life. Go be salt and light when things are going bad in your life. That we so call bad. That we have no bad really going on in our life. We don't know what bad is. Really. It's wonderful where we're at. Wonderful. For Yehovah to make himself visible to his faithful servant and friend. It was here that Abraham ate a meal with Yehovah and two messengers just before judgment over Sodom and Gomorrah was passed and delivered. This location also gives us great insight in understanding our need to be attentive students of our mighty teacher, Yeshua Messiah, and love to come together on his Sabbath. Love to come together on his Sabbath. Can't wait for Friday evening. Can't wait for Saturday morning. Can't wait for his feast days. Love to come to his gathering, his set apart gathering, his Sabbath, in order to do what? To sit and learn and be strengthened in his word. To sit and learn and to be strengthened the way when I face a battle, I know I can overcome it because his word said I'm an overcomer. If I'm a doer of it, his word says I'm an overcomer. That leads us in righteousness and enjoy the fellowship of a good meal too. Think about that. It is when we gather as diligent Talmidim, as diligent students, that he makes himself visible to us through his word. And strengthen us as we grow in our knowledge and understanding of who he is. Diligent students. We have to be willing to come and sit and listen and learn. No, you just can't expect him to always want to do. And bless. And give. When we not doing. Nothing. But yet he's supposed to. No. Have a responsibility. Listen, he said, I'll bless you. Sure, I'll bless you. I'll abundantly bless you. But do my word. Come and sit in my set apart gatherings. Come and sit and learn and listen to my Torah that's being read every Shabbat, every Saturday, every Friday evening. Come and sit and listen to it and learn. And not only will you learn, it's going to strengthen you. That when you're faced with circumstances in your life, you can overcome. You can overcome them. You can know that I'm right there with you to overcome them. I'm not leaving you alone. I'm right there with you. This was also the place where Isaac dwelt, Yitzchak, when Jacob came to him before he died at 180 years of age, in Genesis 35:27-28. Moreh equals teacher, and Mamre equals strength. For it is as we submit to our good teacher and fix our eyes on him and submit to hearing, guarding, and doing his word that we are equipped to stand and fight as his joy strengthens us and renews us. That was the second location. The third location. And see these locations are powerful. Some powerful things happen at each one of these locations. The third location that we see in Scripture being marked by a terebinth tree is Sa'anim, Strong's 86815, which means removings, and is the plural of the word Sa'an. Strong's 86813, which means to wander, travel, or taking down. It is in Yehoshua, Joshua 19:33, where we are told that this place formed part of the borders of Naphtali, Strong's 85312, which means wrestling. This place is also used in Judges 4:11, where Heber of the children of the father-in-law of Moshe had come to after separating himself from the Quanites, before Barak and Deborah went up and destroyed Sisera. This tabernacle, as Sinaim, was beside Kadesh, Strong's 86843, which means set apart in place. Which means set apart place. What we can learn from this tabernacle tree location is that we who have been called out of darkness and are a set apart people of Elohim will recognize how we have all wrestled with the removal of our old ways. We all wrestle with that, the removal of our old ways. And all the vain inherited tradition and lies. Therefore, as we live set apart lives, we must remove all falsehood and compromise in order to truly live set apart lives unto our master, our mighty teacher and master. We all wrestle with those ways and those traditions of men. You know, it's kind of hard to give them things up in the very beginning. It's difficult. You know, you 40 years, 60 years, 50 years in doing that. I just don't, you know, maybe some people just snapped their finger and got away and, you know, was done with. For some, it was difficult. But that's where you have to be patient with their journey. You know, some of us might have got it on the first time it was brought to our attention. But that's okay that some might have took a month, that it took them longer to wrestle with that. We don't expect everybody to, you know, jump like you jump, all in. Some people, it takes a little time. It's okay. You still love them and you encourage them every time you see them. Help them along this journey. Let them know that they can be an overcomer of all those traditions that men had, that they were so steeped into. We were so steeped into. And all compromise. The fourth place we find a tabernacle tree being mentioned as a key marker or location is at Shechem, Strong 79, H7927, which means back or shoulder. It was here at Shechem that Yaakov dug a well. The well where Yeshua met the Samaritan woman and so opened the door of the return of the lost sheep of Israel. Remember, he went that way. He said, I have to go that way. I have an appointment. I have an appointment. And that appointment opens the door for the whole lost sheep. That meeting right there. You think that was important that he meant that he followed that path? You're talking about someone who followed Yehovah's leadership and guidance to the fullest? Yeshua did it to the fullest. With no compromise. I have to go to Samaria because there's a woman at a well waiting for me. And little does she know, the water that I'm going to bring for her to drink, she has no idea. No idea. It was also here, the tabernacle at Shechem, that the master of Shechem set up Abimelech, the son of Gideon, as their king after he had killed his 70 brothers, Judges 9 and 6. It was also here at Shechem that Yaakov buried the idols under the tabernacle tree, a very eventful place indeed, one that typically presents to us the clear choice of who we will serve and follow. Yeshua Messiah is our master, teacher, and king, and the rule is on his shoulders. Yet Shechem teaches us that there is always a false system and rule that many sadly chooses to follow. There's always a false system, always trying to copyright the original. That's just how the enemy works. He always wants to try to copyright the original. Oh, copy the original. After Abimelech was set up as king of Shechem, Jotham went and proclaimed a clear parable of trees from Mount Gerizim as a witness against the leaders at Shechem. Abimelech ruled Israel for 3 years, after which he was killed when a woman dropped an upper millstone on his head and crushed his skull. He then asked his armor bearer to kill him, lest it would be said that a woman had killed him. And so Elohim repaid Abimelech for the evil of killing the 70 sons of Gidom. Why am I sharing this with you? It's simply to show how the enemy will certainly have a way of getting many to follow him. And with the 70 sons of Gidom being killed by him, we are given a picture of how the enemy has done his utmost to defile the nations, yet shall be destroyed at the end. The number 70 is a significant number in representing the fullness of the nations. As we are reminded that the generations of Noah's sons after the flood were 70 in number. And we are also reminded how it was 70 elders who ate a meal at Mount Sinai with Jehovah. When the covenant was given to the chosen and called out nations, who were to be a light to the nations. Yeshua Messiah also sent out the 70 taught ones, two by two, ahead of him, into every city and place where he was about to go, so that they would prepare the way as they went to go out and proclaim the Besorah, the good news of his kingdom, which is another picture of how we as faithful Tamidim and pure trees of righteousness are called to go and prepare the way of his soon return and proclaim the Besorah of his kingdom. Still today, we have a job to do, and that is to prepare the way, get the good news out to people. We still have a job to do to proclaim the Besorah of his kingdom. We must choose to follow the righteous king by guarding his word and bearing each other's burdens on our shoulders. Bearing each other's burden on our shoulders. Not, they going through it, that's good for them. Let them go through it. They getting what they deserve. That's not what the Torah tells us to do. Bear each other's burdens. When somebody's going through something, we need to feel it. We should want to feel what they're going through. That way we'll know how to pray for them. Bear their burdens. Because Yeshua bore our burdens. He didn't say, oh, good for them. I tried telling them. No, he bore my burdens. He bore it. We should bear each other's burdens the same way. If we followers of Christ, followers of Yeshua, that means we do what he did. We like what he liked. We say what he say. We act the way he act. We bear each other's burden. And so fulfill the Torah. You want to fulfill the Torah? There you go. There was another terebinth tree in Shechem that is mentioned in Judges 9:37 and was a place where witchcraft was performed and sought after. In the scriptures, we are told that the people were coming from the diviners, terebinth tree. The Hebrew word for diviners is menyon niyim, which is the plural of the word anan, Strong 6049, H6049, meaning fortune telling, soothsaying, magicians, practicing witchcraft, as well as to make something appear or to cloud over and act correctly as observed times of witchcraft. This is a lesson for us that we are to not allow any form of witchcraft or magic in our lives. For as we live in the world, we are not of the world and must not follow after the world's ways, as this has not been appointed for us. Come out from among them and be separate. Be set apart. Don't live their ways. Don't act like they act. Come out from among them. It's been appointed for us to come out from among them. Don't follow their ways. Deuteronomy 18:13-14. Be perfect before Yehovah your Elohim. For these nations whom you are possessing, do listen to those using magic and to diviners. But as for you, Yehovah, your Elohim, has not appointed such for you. Micah 5:12, and I shall cut off witchcrafts out of your hand and let you have no magicians. The fifth site I want to highlight for you in terms of the location of a terebinth tree being mentioned in Scripture as is at Ophrah. Judges 6:11, and the messenger of Yehovah came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abrazite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress to hide it from the eyes of the Midianites. The name Gideon, Strong's H1439, means "you're one who chops down." And he certainly was a very courageous man who chopped down and destroyed the abominable Asherah pole and altar of Baal that his father had. It was here at the terebinth tree in Ophrah where Gideon lived, and the messenger of Yehovah appeared to Gideon and called him a mighty brave one. The messenger called him a mighty and brave one for what he did. Gideon, of course, engaged in a discussion with the messenger of Yehovah and discussed his doubts and fear, and challenged him by asking that if Yehovah was with them, then why were bad things happening to them as they had been suffering under the oppression of the Midianites? He tells them that all in that Judges. I think that was also chapter 5. Because they was disobedient. They didn't obey the voice of Yehovah and the command he told them. He said, you're going to possess this land, but don't do what they're doing in the land. What they did? They did exactly what he told them not to do. How many times in our lives we did that? He told us, don't do that. Don't go that way. Don't say that. And we do exactly the opposite. And where that got us? The same exact spot where it got them. Why I'm going through that? Well, I told you not to say that. Why I'm going through that? I told you not to do that. Why I'm going through that? I told you not to go that way. Disobeying. Disobedience. Gideon was told to go in his strength, for he would save Israel, and he responded with the fact that he was just a small guy from Manasseh and was the least in his father's house. That right there, listen, that right there just goes to show you that he takes the least. He does a powerful work with them if they do it according to his Torah. He'll use your might. He'll take the least of the person. The one who think that I'm nothing. I'll never be nothing. I'll never mount to nothing. But what if he grabs a hold of the word of Yehovah in his Torah? He'll use you mightily. Mightily. And that's what he did for Gideon. I'm telling you, go read Judges. You have to. You have to go read Judges. This is powerful. Encouraging. With these physical facts in his own eyes of him being the smallest in his father's house, he asked the messenger of Yehovah how he was to do what he was being told, and asked what he would save Israel with. And the answer was very simple and yet very clear. He would do so because Yehovah was with him. That's how you're going to do it, Gideon. You're going to do it because I'm with you. That's how you're going to do it. Because Yehovah was with him. Because Yehovah was with him, he would destroy the Midianites as one man. This is a very practical truth we all need to hear amidst the most daunting circumstances in our lives. If Yehovah is with us, I'm going to end with this statement right here. I got 5 minutes. Not take the last 5 minutes of your time. If Yehovah is with us, then we have the full assurance of walking in victory. Listen, if he's with us, we cannot fail. We have the full assurance of walking his victory if Jehovah is with us. Amen. So good to us. Listen, the rest of these slides is on the internet, on our website. You can go get them, I think. Oh, I can send them to you if y'all want. Just put your airdrop on. I airdrop it to you before you leave. You might want them. You might want them because it's good. The rest of it is real good. But we'll stop right there. I'm so thankful for another opportunity to come here and break bread, to sit and listen, to sit and listen. But now we have a job to do. Once we've done heard it, we have to put it into action. We got to work it. We got to do it. We got to do what it says. That's our job. He did his job. He brought forth the message. Now we have a responsibility to apply it to our lives. Amen. So good to us.